Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Yevameis Daf Chaf Beis. We are holding seven lines from the top of the Amud. We're discussing the Sugya of Shniyos. Min HaTorah, certain Arayos are awesome. Rabbanon added another layer of Arayos. So, not just mother, but mother's mother as well, etc., etc. And the point is, we prohibit marriage with any isha which is close in nature, reminiscent of an erva. And the point is, to implement an extra barrier, an extra shmira, lest one interact with the erva herself. Yesterday we had a list of shniyos la'arayos, and today the Gemara will add another six in the name of Rabbi Chiya. Tani Devei Rabbi Chiya, the Braisa which was learnt in the Beis Medrash of Rav Chiya, contained the following list of Shniyos La'arayos. Shlishi Shebebnoi Veshebebitoi, three generations down on his son's side, on his daughter's side. So let's say on his son's side you have your son's son, that's two down, his daughter, that's Shlishi Shebebnoi. Similarly, on his daughter's side, three generations down. So you have your daughter, her son, and that son's daughter. Either way, three down on this side, three on that side is considered Shnei Le'arayos. Same on his wife's side, his stepchildren, Visheva Ben Ishtoi, three down on his wife's son's side, or on her daughter's side. Those are all considered Shniya, Shniya La'arayos. The same thing if you go upwards. Revi'i Shebechamiv V'Shebechamois Shniya. So let's say his wife's great-great-grandmother, that's a Shniya. His wife's considered number one. Her mother is number two. And her mother, which is your mother-in-law, her mother's mother, so that's four up, mother, mother-in-law, that mother, and further up, one more mother. So Revi Shebechamiv, whether it's father-in-law's side or mother-in-law's side, Shebechamiv v'Shebechamayis, Shniya, they are considered Shniya La'arayos. So we have two on his side, his descendants, one from his son's side, one from his daughter's side. You have two on the wife's descendant's side, and you have another two, her ancestors, going up either through her father's side or through her mother's side. All those, six in total, are considered Shniya. Actually, we alluded to this yesterday. We had these six Reb Chiya. Here we have it. A total of six more Arayos. Amalei Ravina Ravashi. Ravina asks Ravashi the following question. Why is it that we relate to these arayos differently? Maishna lamala. Why is it when we go upwards, the wife is considered part of the calculation? Right? We consider her four. Revi'i shebechamiv. Four up. How do we get four up? Wife is one. Her father is two. Her father's father is three. Her father's mother is three, and her father's mother's mother is four. So basically, wife is considered number one. She's reckoned as part of the calculation. But why is it when we go down to descendants, to children, they're like a chashav lali ishtai? We don't reckon the wife as one. We call them number three instead of number four. Shlishi shebibnoi. So the daughter of a son's son is three. We start from the son, which is number one. That son's son is number two, and that son's son's daughter is number three. We ignore the wife. But when we go upward, we consider wife as number one, and then her father's number two, three, and four. Answers the Gemara, there's a difference. Lamalo, di isura mikayach ishtei kach asi. Because when we go upwards, it's his wife's family. They're his relatives only through marriage. And since they're not his blood relatives, it's only by way of his wife that he connects to them. So we reckon wife as number one. We count her as number one because she's the catalyst for the issue. Lamata, as opposed to when he goes downward, his descendants are his blood relatives. The Yisur Olav Mikoich Ishta Ka'asi, Ishta is not on account of his wife, it's his personal relatives. Like a Chashavla, we do not count wife as number one. Okay, that explains his own personal children. What about his wife's children? V'ha ben Ishtai bas Ishtai, his wife's son or daughter. The Yisur Mikoich Ishta Ka'asi. In that case, certainly, the Isser is on account of his wife. We should count her in as number one. We don't count her in. We start with the child. We don't start with wife as one and then go down the list, two, three, and four. And says the Gemara, I did the Tana. Shleisha Doris Lamata Didei, Velei Choshev, on account of when we discussed his own personal children. We just started from his child, as we explained to earlier, because in that case, there's no reason to include the wife in the count because it's not her relative, it's his relative. So on account of that, where we left out the wife, Tananami Gimel Doris Lamata Didov Lechashva, when we discussed her descendants, we also did not include her into the calculation. Okay, so we have a total of six more Shniyos La'arayos in the name of Rabbi Chiya. His great-great-grandchild, through his son or through his daughter, the same when it comes to his wife's great-grandchildren. Right, so three generations down, his son's daughter, or the same when it comes to his daughter's side, likewise on his wife's side of the family, or upward, you have from his father-in-law's side or mother-in-law's side, so a total of six Shnias Levites. Amalei Rav Ashler Kahana, I have a Shaila, Shnias Rav Chiya. These examples of Shnias mentioned by Rav Chiya, Yesh Lohen Hefzik, Oy Ein Lohen Hefzik. Do they terminate or not? Yesterday we learned that in some instances, the Isha that was labeled as a Shniya, Midrabanan, only that Isha is Asur. If you take it a step further, there's no Isur. For instance, certain variations of ants. She's Asur, but if it's a step beyond that, a generation further out, there's no Isur. What about these examples of Rabbi Chiya? Right, so a great-grandchild, does it stop there? Or does it just go down the line without any hefsik? Toshma, here's a right. Dama, Rav. Because yesterday Rav told us, Dalad Nashim Yesh Lehem Hefsik. The following four women have hefsik, are limited to those and no further. Vesuloi. He said only four. Apparently the other examples of Shniyos just carry on without interruption, including these of Rabbi Chiya. No. Dilma kikama Rav, lahi mas naisa. Perhaps Rav was referring to that specific brisa. In that brisa, we have four that have hefsik. It's not to say that there aren't other examples of nashim that have hefsik. Toshma, he's another ayah from this brisa of Rav Chiya himself. We have shlishi, right? Shlishi shebebnoi, veshebebitoi. We have Ravi, four generations up on his mother's, on his wife's side. We cite a number, which seems to be accurate and specific. Shlishi Ravi in, only three down or four up, are Asr. Tfeiloi, but further out, is not Asr. Apparently, there is Hefsik. It terminates, it stops right there, it's limited. No, Dilma Mishlishi Ve'eloch, Mirvi Ve'eloch. When we said three or four, that was a starting point, but certainly it goes onward without interruption, so we have no conclusion on our Shaila. Amalei Rava l'Rav Nachman. Rava tells Rav Nachman as follows. Chazi Mar, did you see? Haim Rabbanan, this Talmud Chacham, the Asa Marava, who came from Eretz Yisrael. V'amar, and he quoted as follows. Bob Marava. In Eretz Yisrael, they question as follows. We know that a ger who converts and happens to have been married to his Erva, which by the way is Asur, even for a guy, but it so happens to be he was married to a relative and he converted, they both converted. So really, Al Pidin, there's no concern because we know a convert, a ger, is like a newly created being. Gershon is Gayer. Kikotan Shenoilad Domin, really, they're no longer related in a Torah context. But, as we're going to see soon, Rabbanan did not allow it to continue. So they have to separate. What about if he was married to a Shnia? Not a sister, a mother, an immediate relative. A removed relative, a Shnia, which is only Asr Midrabban. Did they apply a gzer when it comes to Shnias by a ger or not? Do they have to separate? Or can they stay together? Amalei. So Rav Nachman responded, of course there's no concern. Because the entire thing is in the Rabbana. Look, Hashta, Uma Erva Gufa, even the primary Erva herself, would not really be a concern in Atayra. Ilav, if not for the concern, Shela Yomru, people shouldn't say, Boin Mikdusha Chamura, the Kdusha Kala. Look, a ger. He thought he was rising in stature, becoming elevated to a higher level of Kedusha when he joined the ranks of Yiddishkeit. But look what happens. While he was a guy, he should not have married a relative. But now when he turns Jewish, it's totally mutter and negates the entire concept of Kedushas Yisrael. There's a concern about Maris Ayin, about creating the wrong impression. As though joining Yiddishkeit is a downgrade, Chas v'Shalom. Therefore, we say, you know what? Even though Al Pidin, it's mutter, because you're both like reborn and recreated creatures, but don't stick together. So that's the only reason why we separate them. So if not for this, Ilav Shelo Yomru, if not for this concern, people shouldn't be saying boin mikdusha chamura, mikdusha kala. They came from a greater kedusha and ended up in a lower kedusha. Loigaz burabban, rabban would not have been concerned about even staying married to a proper erva. So this is the only reason why we separate them. Shnias mi boye. Is there a need to even say that shnias is not a concern? You see, because true, a proper erva, even a guy should not be married to. So here we don't want to create that impression that joining Yiddishkeit, joining Yisrael, is any less than being a guy. But by Yishnia, where to begin with, it's only Asim Rabbanon. That is, Rabbanon is not applicable when he's a guy, so there's no concern, we're just staying together. Amar Rav Nachman, Gerim. Once we speak about Gerim, Hoyle of Osel Yodan, once we're on the topic of Gerim, neighbor move Milsa. Let me tell you something interesting about Gerim. Achin Mina'im. Suppose we have two brothers, Goyim, who share the same mother. So you know for sure that they're really brothers. Lo Yo'idu, when they turn Jewish, they shouldn't be testifying. We know that brothers, relatives may not testify together. So since they're proper relatives, again, even though once they join Yisrael, they're no longer considered relatives, but they appear to be relatives because they share the same mother, they should not get involved in offering testimony. That's l'chatchil. V'me'idu. But if they actually offered edus, edus on edus, but the evidence be accepted. That's because they share a mother. They're proper brothers. As opposed to achar mina'av, non-Jewish brothers who share the same father. Rashi says, the pasuk was mafkir. The zera of a goy, there's no kurva when it comes to sharing a father at all. Kurva's av, Rashi says, ain't no kurva. We don't consider them relatives at all. And therefore, mi'idin l'chatchila, when they convert, they can actually offer their testimony l'chatchila. Abayma amar. He goes a step further. Afilu achem ena eim na'am mi'idin l'chatchila. Even if they share the same mother, when they are mizgayer, they can join together and offer testimony. Why? Because, halachically, they are not relatives. Asks the Gemara, Umayishna ma'arayis. Why would this be treated differently than arayis, where we say, don't stay together, treat them as relatives. Right? We said before, if one happened to be married to his relative, and they both became gerim, they can't stay together, even though they're newly created creatures. So why is edus different? Answers the Gemara, Erva l'koil masura. The concept of arayis is prevalent, is something accessible to all, which basically means, as Rashi explains, everybody's marrying is something which is commonplace. And therefore, if you allow the gerim to stay together, these two relatives to stay married, that concept might be applied to bona fide Yisraelim as well. We want to avoid that confusion, and therefore, even gerim, who are relatives, may not stay married, as opposed to edus. The concept of edus is limited to Bezdin. Who's involved in edus? The Bezdin Mesura. And Bezdin knows the halacha. There's no room for confusion there. The gerishin is gair, kikot neshinu the dummy. They know full and well that a ger became a Yisrael. It's like a newborn, unrelated to his former relatives, and therefore there's no concern of confusion. Tosis asks, it would seem from Rashi, the reason why relatives may not stay married is on account of creating possible confusion and applying it to proper Jews. And Tosis asks, what do you mean? A minute ago we said the concern is that they shouldn't be thinking that they were downgraded in their Kedusha, something they couldn't do when they were non-Jews and they can do it now. How do we reconcile both reasons? And Tosis goes on and discusses and explains the terrace of discussion, why both elements, both reasons are needed. Okay, so bottom line is we had six additional shniyos in the name of Rabbi Chia. We had a question of whether or not those shniyos have hefsek or not. Are they limited to those or they continue further down the line? We're not sure about that. We learned about gerim. Gerim should not stay married to each other if they are relatives. But that doesn't apply to shniyos, which are only asum the rabbanon to begin with. Regarding saying edus, so brothers who share only a father certainly can be made once they turn Yisrael. They share a mother, we have a machlekes amurim. Continues the Mishnah, Mi shi eish le ach mikol mokit. If one happens to have a brother, on any account, even a mamzer, as the Gemara will explain. So even if it's an illegitimate brother, he's still a brother, and therefore zoykek es eishas achav liibam. That surviving brother, upon the passing of this brother, that surviving brother, even though he's a mamzer, will obligate the widow to do yibam. Even if he's a mamzer, he's considered a brother regarding all halachis, Yerusha, etc. Chutz, except for one example of a brother, suppose his brother hails from a maidservant or a guy. So his father interacted with these individuals and had this brother. That brother doesn't identify with you. He's son of a shivcha. Son of a guy, unfortunately, he identifies with the mother, and therefore is not considered your brother. Same applies to a son. If one has any type of son, that son now exempts his mother, who had no other children, exempts her from yibum. Look, there's a son here, even though he's an illegitimate child, he's a mamzer, but a son is a son. What's more, v'chayev al makosev al kilalasa, if he strikes or curses his father, is chayev. U'bunayu l'chol dover. He's considered a son for all halachis. Chutz, except for the son who hails from a non-Jew. Mishi eshli ben min ha-shifcha. U'min ha-vedes kechavim. If that son was born from a shifcha or a goyim, that son doesn't identify with the father. Mikol mokim al suyimai. The mission says, a brother from any account, Mikol Mokim counts. What are we including? Amar of Yudel Asuya Mamzer, even if it's a Mamzer. Pshita, of course. Achiv who? A Mamzer? No Mamzer? He's still a brother. Why would I differentiate? Mavda Tema, perhaps I would think. Leilaf Achva Achva Mne Yaakov. We had this clear Sheva back on Afid Zayin. Kieshvu Achim Yacht of brothers who experience each other, they are obligated to look after their brother's widow. They do Yibam. We connected to the Bnei Yaakov, we had the Lashon Achim, so perhaps Ma'ala Halam Ksherim V'lei Psulim, just as the tribes, the Shvatim were Ksherim, of course, and not Psulim. Afkan, likewise over here by Yibam, you need Ksherim V'lei Psulim, K'mashmon, the Chiddush is, even a apostle obligates Yibam. Ve'im HaChanami, how do we know that's not true? Perhaps you need Ksherim? And says the Gemara, Kivin Dil Inyan Yibam, Mifter Nifter. Since we're going to learn something from a pasuk, then it comes to a son who's a mamzer, as long as there's some sort of son, even a mamzer, exempts his mother from yibum. Miska knam izakik, we compare it to the brother as well. And we say, look, a brother in this type of context will be zakik, will obligate the yibum. If a mamzer is considered a son in a yibum context, he's considered a brother and reckoned with in the yibum context as well. So he's zekik liyibum, he's considered a proper yibum. What else? Va'achiv hu l'chal davar, considered a brother for anything. My hechasa for what? Liyarishai. He inherits that brother. L'tamerloi. His brother passes away, and now this kohen wants to know, can I be metame? Can I tend to this brother? Yes. He's metame to this brother, considered a close relative. Pshita, of course, achiv hu, he's his brother. Why would I think otherwise? Sakat atechamina, perhaps I would think. The pasuk says that a kohen may not be metame himself except for close relatives or seven close relatives, and the pasuk says ki im l'she'ira karav elav l'she'ira, he's allowed to be metame. Who's that? Vamamar she'ira, his flesh. So ishta, it's his wife. So this pasuk indicates you are metame for a wife. Uksiv, the other pasuk says lo yitame bal ba'am v'lechale. No, a husband may not become tame. Cannot attend to his wife who passed away. May he? Or may he not? The answer is, it depends when. Yesh baal she'emi tami. There is a husband who will become tami. Yesh baal she'emi tami. And a husband who will not be tami himself. Okay, Ted, how does this work? Mi tami hu liyishtek she'ra. He's allowed to become tami in order to attend to his wife who passed away. If that wife is a legitimate wife, a proper wife, who he was allowed to marry. But if it's an ishtei psula who wasn't meant to marry to begin with, he can't be metame to her. So once we know that, it depends on the status, depends whether it's kosher or pasul, that's the basis for being mater, becoming tame. Perhaps we'll apply the same to a brother. Hachinami, likewise by a brother. Mitame hu la'ach kosher, ve'in metame la'ach pasul. Perhaps he's allowed to become tummy in order to tend to an ach kasher, but not by an ach pasul like a mamzer. Kamashmon, the chiddush is no. Even by an ach pasul, he's allowed to become tummy in order to bury him. Ve'ema chenami, how do you know? Perhaps the same concept that applies to isha applies to brother. If he's pasul, he shouldn't be touching him. What's the difference? Big difference. Hasam by the isha, lafuki kaima. He's meant to send her away. He's meant to divorce her. Says Rashi, Hilkach lav ishtahi. She's not really considered his wife. She's on the way out. Therefore, there's no justification for becoming tummy to her upon her passing. As opposed to brother, Hacha, achivu. A brother is a brother is a brother. He's a blood relative. Irrespective of whether he's a brother who is kasher or pasul. So this applies to all types of brothers except for one type of thing. If he doesn't identify as a Jew, his father had a son from a guy. That brother, so to speak, is not really his brother. My time, how do you know this? Pasuk speaks about the children of a shivcha. They belong to their master. They relate to the master. There is property. So we see from there that we don't reckon with the father. So it's irrelevant who the father was. They relate to the mother, back to the master. There is property. They're not considered the Israel. Same when it comes to children. Any type of son will exempt his mother from Yibum. What is this coming to include? This mamzer that we spoke about. My time, how do we know that a mamzer is a sufficient son, sufficiently reckoned with, in order to be poiter his mother from Yibum? The Amakro, the pasuk by Yibum says, Uben Ein Loi. Right? This fellow passed away without children, Rashi says. They could have said Ein without a Yud. Rashi brings many examples where we have the Ein without the Yud. Why does the pasuk add the Yud in the word Ein? Ayin Olav, concentrate, focus. Take a look at this departed fellow. Investigate the matter. Does he have any type of child? Kosher, pasul, mamzer. Either way, that will be sufficient grounds to exempt the widow from Yibum. V'chayv al makasay, this child, despite the fact that he's a mamzer, born from an inappropriate relationship, if he strikes his father or curses his father, he's chayv. Amai, why is he chayv? Kari kan, let's apply the pasuk. V'nasi ba'amchal yisar, don't curse a nasi who is part of your community. And we learned, bo'isim ma'ase amcha, if he conforms to proper behavior. His father, certainly does not behave appropriately. And by creating this mamzer, so why is this child obligated? Why is he liable for attacking his father? Answers the Gemara. He did teshuva. As Rav Pinchas tells us elsewhere, Ba'isa teshuva was speaking that he did teshuva. Hachanami here as well. Although he created a mamzer, but teshuva is always open. It's always, the door to teshuva is always there. K'sha'asa teshuva, he did teshuva. Really? V'hai bar teshuva? How could he do teshuva once he created a mamzer? V'atzanan, Shimon b'menasya Eimer. Ezu mu'ubas li'uchal iskan. Give me an example of one who became crooked, who has no rectification. Zeh, this case, habala erva, he lived with an erva, v'hoilin men a mamzer, created a mamzer. There's no way back. You have a bona fide fact in front of you. You have a metzias of a mamzer. How can you suggest that he did teshuva? Answers the Gemara, it's true, it's difficult. There are many obstacles in his way, but the fact is, he can still do teshuva. Ha'ashtamiya. Nevertheless, ha'ashtamiya now, oise masa amchu, he's back on track. He did teshuva, says Rashi, even though avoynoi goloi v'nizkar, kolz man shemamzer kayim, as long as the mamzer is still alive. By the way, the mamzer doesn't live very long. The Gemara Kedushin, I believe, says mamzer eventually dies out, doesn't have sustained existence, because his whole reason for existence is not really a proper chiyus. In any case, but as long as the mamzer is here, the avir is revealed, it's exposed, it's a metzius. But, says Rashi, miu mi tshuva ve'elech b'chlal oise ma'ase amchu. The fact is, the person, the gavra, can do teshuva, as the Rishonim bring, ein lecha dover ha'imer b'nei tshuva. The fact is, the person did teshuva. And therefore, the son is liable for attacking his father. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in a brais. Habo ala choise. If one interacts as married with his sister, that's an isser, on top of the fact that she's a sister, she's also the daughter of your father's wife. So she was created through marriage. What happens now? Are there two chiyuvim, two isurim, only one? We have a machlekes. Chayiv mishum achoisai. One chiyuv is on account of sister, umishum bas eishes aviv. And also on account of the fact that she's the daughter of his father's wife. Rabbi Yosi ben Yehuda Eimer, no. There's only one chiyuv. Ein chayiv al mishum achoisai b'levad. He's only guilty of achoisai v'loy mipnei bas eishes aviv. We don't have the additional issa bas eishes aviv. So typically, if she's just a sister, of course she's chayiv. But if she's on top of the fact, a sister, on top of that, she's also by Sheshes Aviv. Chacham say there are two reasons for Isser. Two chatois, two Isserim are being committed. Whereas according to Rabbi Yosi, strictly Achoisei, and that's it. And it's based on Pesuk. My time, I do Rabbanon. Why do Rabbanon suggest that there are two Isserim? Amri, they say as follows. Michti, Ksiv. Let's take a look at the two Pesuk. Number one, we have Ervas Achoischa Basavicha Basimecha. Don't interact with the sister, whether she's the daughter of your father or your mother's daughter. Either way, she's considered the erva of achos. Then we have pasuk number two. Ervas bas eishes avicha. Moledes avicha achoschi. Don't interact with the daughter of bas of eishes avicha, a daughter of your father's wife. Normally, why that additional pasuk? Oh, to teach us, there are two reasons. At times, we have two separate reasons that come together. Shmamino, this teaches us, L'chayve mishum achoisai. At times, she carries two isurim. Number one, sister. Umishum bashe eshes avicha. Number two, a daughter of your father's wife. Rabbi Yisur Yehuda. What does he do with this pasuk? Amakra. Because the pasuk says, Achoischahi. She's your sister. That's extra words in the pasuk. coming to tell us. Mishum achoyis ayata machayva. He's only held responsible on account of his sister. Ayata machayva. Mishum bashesh is aver. He's not accountable on account of daughter of father's wife. V'rabbanon hayachoyis chayiv mayavdilei. What do Rabbanon do with these added words, which seems to be sending us some sort of message? They need it for something else. They need it for the following. L'chayvay. To hold one responsible. Al-achoysoy bas aviv bas imay. Listen to this. In pasuk number one, we had achoyscha bas avicha, a daughter of your father. Oy bas imecha, or your mother's daughter. One or the other. Suppose both things come together as one. She happens to be your father's daughter and your mother's daughter. Let's say even if it wasn't through marriage, Rashi said through oinus, through a forced relationship. But it so happens to be you have two reasons, two elements of sistership here. You share a mother with her and a father. The pasuk needs to tell you that you're a chayv. Loima, and this teaches us she'ein ma'asira min adin. You can't draw a warning or a punishment by way of a kavachomer. You could have simply said, look, in pasuk number one, we learn that one or the other is sufficient reason for chiyuv. Either sharing a mother or sharing a father is enough to consider her a sister and erva. Of course, if there are two reasons coming together as one, you share both a mother and a father, of course it's a chiyuv. No. Achos chahi. Pasuk is highlighting, you know what? Even if both come together, there is also a chiyuv. And by doing so, the pasuk in effect is telling you, you can't just draw conclusions on your own. This is a well-known rule in halacha and einish. You can't create an einish through a kavachim. That's the halacha that Torah here is telling you. We need to point this out, that if there are two reasons for chiyuv, you're also chayiv. Don't say, well, it's isn't it obvious? If one element of sisterhood is enough, certainly both together, all the more reason for chiyuv, no. I need to tell you that. I need to tell you that if both elements of sisterhood come together, there's a chiyuv. Because otherwise you could not have concluded it on your own. She'ein ma'asir min adin. So achos chi is coming to tell you that lesson. So two elements of achoscha, you share both a mother and a father, there is chiyuv. For Rabbi Yosef or Yehuda, what is he? How does he know this concept? He already used achos chi for something else. To tell you there's only a chiyuv on account of achos chi, not on account of bashes, just of it, right? How does he know this concept of ein ma'asir min adin im kein? If it's only to tell you this, lichtav rachmona, the pasuk could have said achos chi. She's a sister. She's a double sister. You're a chayv because I'm telling you she's chayv. You could not have concluded this on your own. He, the extra word, he, lovely, what's that for? Oh, to tell you. The liability here is limited, is strictly limited to achoscha. There's no additional chiyuv on account of being the daughter of your father's wife. V'rabban, what do Rabban do with the word he? Avagav d'chsev achoscha. Even if it already says achoscha, it's strictly michtav he. We need the word he on top of that. Why? Shalai taimar. Ba'alma masir min adin. The pasuk is telling you like this. Sure, right over here we see that you can't generate oinish through a kavachim. From the fact that we need to express, we need to specify that a two-sided sister is chayiv. That indicates to us that you can't just draw these conclusions on your own through a kavachimer. Right? But a single-sided sister is also certainly a double side. No, we need to express it. You can't just do it on your own. But perhaps this isn't necessarily a formula that you can apply elsewhere. You shouldn't go and say, well, typically you can generate a azhara, an oinish, by way of a kavachimer. If so, achoscha the kasser rachman alamli. Why does the Torah have to add the word achoscha? That a double-sided sister is usher. Isn't that pashat from a kavachimer? If a one-sided sister is usher, a two-sided sister's Rishu Asr? Well, most of the Asr Kavachayma, sometimes, even something that can be drawn from a Kavachayma, Torah, because of Lakrua, Torah, burdens itself, troubles itself to write it out. Don't rely on the Kavachayma, I want to tell it to you straight out. Perhaps that's the reason why the Torah spells out Achoyscha. Not to tell you a general concept that you can't learn from a Kavachayma. Perhaps you can learn from a Kavachayma, but at times the Torah spells it out. So the word Achoyscha wouldn't necessarily form the basis, wouldn't necessarily teach you this concept of Ein Mas Hirim Adin. That's why we need the extra He. Kos Rachmana He. That's why the Pasuk adds the word He to tell you that only in this case will we have the extra Pasuk of Achoyscha. Now we know that a double-sided sister is Asur. But typically, you can never learn anything from a Kavachimer when it pertains to punishment or warnings. According to Rabbi Yehuda, we needed this pasuk to tell you the other concept that there's no chiva bash eshes aviv. But if all the psukim, all the words were already used up and unavailable for that, so what does he do now? Im kain. If the pasuk were only to tell you this, the lessons taught by the Rabbanon, the pasuk could have been stated elsewhere. The placement is sort of off. The Pasuk should have put this language of Achoyscha in the other Pasuk, which discusses sisterhood. Right? You go back, you'll see the two Pasuk. Pasuk 1, Ervas Achoyscha, Basavicha Basimecha. A sister, whether from the mother side, from the father's side, she's an Erva. Right over there, the Pasuk should have said Achoyscha hi. It's a double-sided sister, she's Asur as well, and comes and teaches us that you can't learn from a Kavachim, etc. Where does the Torah place those words of Achoyscha? In the second pasuk, right? Pasuk number two, Ervas bas eishes avicha, meledes avicha, Achoyscha. What's it doing there? That's not the pasuk of Achoyscha. Pasuk speaking of bas eishes avicha. Oh, the fact that the pasuk added the word Achoyscha in that pasuk. In effect, the pasuk is telling you, Achoyscha, even if this sister is a proper sister, a daughter of your father's properly married wife, Bas Eishes Avicha, you should know there's only one Isser, sister. There's no additional Isser of Bas Eishes Avicha. For Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, according to him, Hai Bas Eishes Avicha Mayavadle. Why at all is the Torah speaking about Bas Eishes Avicha if it's not meant to generate an Isser of Bas Eishes Avicha? It's coming to teach you what type of sister is considered an Erva. Miboyle, it's coming to tell you. A sister is only if produced from a relationship with an isha that your father can theoretically marry. As opposed to a sister generated from a relationship that his father has with a shifcha or a goy, they don't relate to that child doesn't relate to the father, and therefore she's not considered your sister. Shein ishus lavicha ba. Father can't even theoretically have any marriage there, and therefore that child is not considered a sister of this fellow. Okay, so bottom line is, isn't much machlekes here when it comes to the other halachas of emasir and menadin. All agree that those concepts hold true. We have one specific machlekes regarding the erva of achoyscha, who happens also to be bas ishus lavicha, daughter of your father's wife. According to Rabbanu, we have two Isurim, Achoyscha and Bas Eishes Avicha. According to Rabbi Yehuda, strictly Achoysoi and nothing else. Bezer Hashem will continue the discussion tomorrow. Okay, so let's do a brief chazor of today's daf. Rabbi Chiya added six more Shniyos. We learned that Gerim, relatives who were married before they converted, should not stay together. But if there were only Shniyos L'Arayis, there's no concern. When it comes to giving Eidos, two brothers share a father, no concern. If it's Gerim who share a mother, we learned that a brother or a son who happen to be even Mamzerim are considered. And we concluded with a discussion regarding Achoyscha. Haslacha Rabbah to you and all the best.